Good morning. I'm Tad. I'm not Brett. If you're new here, if you're not, then you already know that. Brett couldn't make it today. He's slaving away somewhere. So, somewhere on a tropical beach. I mean, stuck in an airport, I think. But anyway, you know, I was just trying to decide whether or not to explain who I am a little bit better. just so you know. I've been here for about 2 years now, and 2 years ago, my family and I just kind of ended up here quite abruptly, as a matter of fact. We had been in the South Pacific and serving as missionaries over there, and I was teaching at a Bible school, pastoring a small church, and all of a sudden that just kind of closed down, and we didn't have any idea where we were going to go or where we were going to end up. And we ended up here. You know, the Lord really just opened a huge door here, and we felt like as soon as we came here, we knew this was the place for us. And we have really, really enjoyed it. And it just hit me last night that we'd been here just over 2 years. It was 2 years on Friday. So it's really been a huge blessing. And the reason I'm even mentioning that is because we're leaving. And you guys are sending us. We're going back to the South Pacific soon. And I just want to take this little opportunity to just say thank you so much for letting us be here. And oh, hey, I just wanted to thank you, really. So, you know, I guess I've been also thinking about a lot of things. But one thing I want to ask you guys to think about, and I know this is kind of hard, first service to be asked to think first thing in the morning, especially on a Sunday. After all, it's your weekend and everything. But I want you to put on your thinking caps for a moment. But this is an easy one. This is a kind of a thing that maybe you would reserve for during the boring parts of work or something. But I want you to think about this. What would make you, or say to yourself, what would make me truly happy? What is it that I am missing in my life? What is it, if it was different, that I would be happy and I would be content? You know, I think a lot of us feel like generally we're content with our life, we're content with where we are, but there's usually one or two little sore points that we think, man, if that was just removed, then I would really be content, I would really be happy. And maybe for you, maybe you might be thinking, man, if I just had a different job. You know, that's not really that small of a thing necessarily, but you think, man, if I just, no, I love my job, but I can't stand the people I work with. If I could just change those people, maybe you feel like if I just got a little appreciation at home, if people just understood how much work I do, and if my husband would understand that, then I would be happy. Or maybe you feel like you'd be happy, or you're just about to be happy because you know that you're just about to get that toy that you've been thinking about, whether it's you know, a new iPod, something small, or whether it's a new snowboard. Or whether it's a computer or whatever, you know, a remodel on your house. And you think, once I have that, then I'm going to be happy. Then I'm going to be content. Well, I want to read you guys a passage because it's a great one. It's in the book of Philippians. It's in Philippians chapter 4, which is the end of the book of Philippians. And Paul is basically writing his little farewell. He's kind of getting ready to sign off here. And he has something very interesting to say that he just kind of throws in at the end. And I want to read that. So it's Philippians 4, verse 10. So we'll pick it up and we'll read through. Oh, probably just verse 13 or something. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. That at last you have been renewed, or excuse me, that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him. Or through Christ who gives me strength. You see, Paul, I love this because you guys probably know this, but when Paul's writing the book of Philippians, he's not in a great circumstance at the moment. Paul's not writing from one of the high points of his life. as far as we would be concerned if we were Paul. I don't think Paul was thinking, this is the best life gets. Why? Because he was in prison. He wasn't in a good place. It wasn't the worst of the prisons that he'd been in, but the fact is, it was still prison. And yet he's writing to these people saying, I have learned what it is to be content, whether I've got a lot or whether I don't, whether I am abased or whether I abound. He says, I have learned what it means to be content. And I love that because, you know, we live in a world that pretty much is specializes in fostering discontentment. Have you ever noticed that? That just about everywhere you turn, there's things that are set up to make you unhappy, particularly in America because we live in such a consumer society that everywhere we go, there's signs telling us what we need and what we don't have and why we shouldn't be happy with what we do have. And the thing about that is, it really is just, you turn on the TV, you drive down the road, you open a magazine. What we talk about, our plans, usually have to do with what we would like to do to change the circumstances of our life. And the whole focus is on the external things, saying you're going to be content once you get the external things in order. And so what the world does is tells us, if you just had this, then you'll be content. And the whole idea is to get us to always focusing on the external things that we either have or our circumstances. You know, a new job, new friends, whatever it might be. And the fact is, that's completely false. But that doesn't keep the advertisers from doing that. Why is it? Because generally speaking, even though we live in great times and a great country and have great freedoms and really almost anything we could want, we're not content. Kind of sad. But you know what's funny is it doesn't matter where you go in the world, everybody is in the same boat. You know, going back to Vanuatu, I've been talking to my friends over there a little bit, which has been an amazing thing to speak on the telephone with people over there because the culture is so vastly different. That to change from being here in the U.S. to suddenly talking to somebody there is just, it's more, almost more than I can handle. I mean, honestly, because I'll say something and then there'll be no response. And I'll just go to say something like, oh, are you there? And then you'll respond and we're, you know, you have that little time delay on the phone and everything. Well, the thing that's interesting, like I was saying, that I've been thinking about is that even there where they live in a tropical paradise, you would think. I mean, that's the way the pictures take. That's what they show. But of course, there's a lot of hardships there, a lot of malaria and dengue fever and disease and no medical help, really. And yet those aren't the things that cause them to be discontent, generally. The things that bring about discontentment for them are just things that for us, we would say that's small. You know, maybe not having as many forks as their neighbor. And we say, oh, that's silly. But we feel discontent because we don't have as many cars as our neighbor. Or our yard is not as green as our neighbor's. Or, you know, our wife is not smiling as much as our neighbor's. Or whatever it might be. You know, the fact is we feel like, man, and we tend to think that it's some external thing. And again, you know, the whole thing that we see all the time, this one always comes to my mind because it was so funny. Remember a few years ago, the Head and Shoulders commercials that were on TV? And it was the one where it would show some guy running. One of the scenes was a guy jogging down the street and he stopped at a crosswalk. And there's this girl there and she looks at him and you hear her think, oh, cute guy. And then he scratches his head and she goes, oh, dandruff. makes everybody paranoid to scratch their head or even, oh, you know, I don't want people thinking I have dandruff. And so what do? You go, I've got to go out and get Head and Shoulders right away because I don't want to accidentally scratch my head and tell everybody I've got dandruff. You know, I'm not happy now because I can't wear my black shirts anymore because, you know, I've got a flake. You know, I guess I've got bigger things to worry about. I am a flake. But anyway. But you know, I mean, really, you know, again, you know, we're always being told that we should be striving to be better and to do more and to get paid better. And there's all sorts of articles and magazines saying, this is how you ask your boss for a raise, or this is how you make yourself look good so that you get a raise or get advanced in your job or whatever. And everything is geared towards advancement, gaining materially, yes, but also in position or gaining in other ways. And we think, man, I just want to be more because then I'll be happy. And a lot of women, and men for that matter, are constantly feeling like they don't measure up because, you know, I don't look the way I should. Marna and I, my wife, were in Costco yesterday. We're at the pharmacy. We were picking up the first round of prescriptions. When we go to Vanuatu, we always take as many prescriptions as we can because we're not going to get them once we're there. And so we always get, you know, a couple of years worth of different common things. And we were sitting there waiting for the prescriptions, and there was a People magazine? Anyway, I was in a funny mood yesterday, but there was just something about this cover of the magazine. I suppose it could be very sad, but to me it was hilarious. And that was, there's a picture of Tara Reid on the front. I guess she's an actress or something. And she has a tragic story about, and it probably is, but I didn't read it, about cosmetic surgery that went bad or something. And the thing that cracks me up is, you can see yourself right on the cover. She said, I'm going to read it. She said, I will never be perfect again. That cracks me up on a lot of fronts. I mean, first of all, you're saying that you were perfect. But the thing that kills me is, if she was perfect, then why did she have the surgeries? I thought, that just proves how dumb we are. You know, we make a mistake and then we think, oh man, now I things used to be so good. Why is that? Because we're not content. And Paul, in bad circumstances, going through lots of hardships, had found contentment. And what was the thing about his contentment? He says, here's something I want to tell you about contentment, as he's writing to these guys. It's a secret. He said, I have learned the secret. And when you read this passage, you almost think he's not telling you the answer to the secret. He said, I've learned what it means to be, to abound or to be abased, you know, whether rich or poor, things are good or bad. He said, I've learned the secret. And then you kind of read on, and to me, the way, at least in my Bible, you don't realize that what he's saying is the secret to contentment is not in anything that he has outside of him or any circumstance of his life. It's all based on one thing, and that's in verse 13 where he says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You see, that's what he says. That is the answer to contentment. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to change that one thing in your life? Here's what you need to change. You need to change your focus. It's not a new car. It's not a new job. It's not more appreciation from your husband or more appreciation from your coworkers. It's not a new house, a new country to live in. It's not anything. It's not getting out of the rut you're in. Even if your rut's bad, that's not where you're going to find contentment. You're going to find contentment in one place, and that is in Jesus. Now, here's the interesting thing, and I've kind of told you guys this before, at least on Wednesday nights, that I'm one of those simple people. And sometimes certain things dawn on me a little bit later than maybe it does for you. And there's one thing here in this passage that dawned on me a little bit late. But let me share with you what it is, because it, to me, is profound. And that is, the word content is the same word as content. So, wow, what a brilliant mind. You can leave now. I have shared with you my vast wisdom. No, content and content are the same word, but not just are they the same word in spelling, but really, they were originally, we've kind of branched it off into two meanings, but it originally, the word content was, content, like I'm content and happy, that came from understanding your contents. And that's where we find contentment, is realizing, what do I contain? It's not what, it's who. Jesus Christ. He's the one who lives inside of us. When we've given our lives to him, we say, Lord, I need you. Take my life. Come live in me. That's where we find our contentment. If you want to be content, you have to remember what you contain, and that's Jesus. And he is the one that will give you contentment. And not that he gives you contentment as saying, okay, Ryan, here's a little contentment for you for today. No, it's this. You are content because I am in you. That's all you need. I am everything. And that's why the Lord, in the Word, he calls himself, I am. Because he is whatever we need. And if we need comfort, he is the God of all comfort. If we need strength, we see it right here in this passage. You know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Whatever it is you need, he gives it to you. He has it because that's who he is. If you need wisdom, if you need knowledge, remember, it's in Christ. It's in Jesus. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, no matter what it is you need, he's it. You need just strength to get through the day. I just kind of need something for my whole life. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. You know, he is absolutely himself everything you need. And when you realize that, when I realize that, I'm content. Because I realize, man, I have Jesus. And that's all I need. He is it. And if I'm in prison, I can be content. If I'm way behind in my bills and things are looking awful, I can realize, well, I have Jesus. And I know he will never leave me or forsake me. He is the one who has said that if I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that he'll take care of all these other things. And I realize, okay, Lord, you're able. If I'm just feeling so sad, I can remember that Jesus was the one who changed the water into wine. And I know that he can give me new joy. You just remember, it's Jesus. He's the one you need. And most of you guys here, especially I think first service types, you know this. You're here because you're wanting to make room for second service people. So people who maybe don't know the Lord can come in at a time that's comfortable and stuff. But remember this. It's in Jesus that you will find your contentment. It's not in something that's external. Now, I want to warn you, or maybe clarify something. And that is, I am not saying that you need to get rid of all your things. You need to learn to be content with less. You know, that's a common missionary thing to say. You need to be content, learn to be content with less. So give what you have to me. Have you ever heard that one? No. I think of Abraham. You know, you go back to the book of Genesis and the early part of the Bible there, the very first stories, really. In chapter 15, there's a story where the Lord appears to Abraham in a vision. They have this conversation. And the thing that's amazing is Abraham has just gone off. He'd been in battle. He'd been fighting. He'd rescued his son-in-law, Lot, or his nephew. And he had just been through this huge battle. The Lord had given him victory. And then Abraham, I have a feeling, just exhausted. He's spending a little time with the Lord, but the Lord appears to him in a vision. And he says, Abraham, I am your shield, your very great reward. And the thing I love about that is we know that Abraham, we always think of Abraham, especially as Americans, because we know, hey, Abraham was a powerful man. He's the kind of guy we hold up as saying, this is the guy I'd like to be like. You know, Abraham had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of possessions. He was blessed by the Lord. That's what I want to be like. And here's the thing that's cool, is the Lord didn't say to Abraham, Abraham, the reason you got in this trouble, and if you read the story, you see that maybe it was his possessions and lots that kind of caused some of this trouble to begin with. And you think, oh, maybe the Lord would tell Abraham, you need to learn to be content with less. But he doesn't. He says, you need to understand something. I am your reward. You get me. That's all you need. And then the thing that's interesting, of course, the Lord just blessed Abraham unbelievably materially. But was that where Abraham found his happiness and contentment? No. It was in the Lord himself. And so what I want to just say is what I'm talking about this morning really has nothing to do with how much you have or how little you have, how happy you are generally or how unhappy you are generally, how good things are going in your life right now or how terrible they're going. The reality is all of us, no matter what our circumstances, no matter how extreme, the answer to contentment is the exact same thing. And that is we just need Jesus. We need more of him. We need to say, Lord, I just want to find my worth in you. I want to find the appreciation that I'm looking for in you. Lord, I want to find that joy in you. Not in what I'm doing or who I am to other people, but who I am to you, Lord, and who you are to me. You see, that's the whole thing that Paul's talking about here. He says the secret of contentment is something he said. Now, it's kind of interesting if you look into this a little bit. There's one where he calls it the secret. It's as though he's saying that he's been initiated into the mystery of contentment. Because it is a mystery, isn't it? How is it that some people are so content and happy, and how is it that some of us aren't? How many times have you thought that? How can somebody go through something like that and still be joyful? How can somebody be dealing with those difficulties and still have peace? Well, it's real simple. It's in Jesus. That's the mystery. It's not the Lord taking your circumstances and changing them, which he might do. It's not the Lord giving you that thing that you're lacking or removing that thing that's so irritating. It's understanding, Lord, it's just you. If you leave that irritating, awful person in my life, do you ever pray that way? Of course not. Excuse me. That person who's such a blessing in developing my character. No. But you know what? Man, we should say, Lord, I want to find my contentment in you. Whether or not that person is in my life forever, or whether or not this job never gets any better, or whether I have so much right now and everything's going great, I'm newly married and things couldn't be better, and oh man, the whole world's before me. Hey, don't find your joy. This is the tricky thing. Don't find your contentment when things are going well in the things, because then when they're not going well, you're going to have a hard crash. You know, it'll be tough. But if you find your contentment in the good times and in the good things, knowing, hey, it's really the Lord. It's really the Lord that I'm enjoying these classes right now. I know next semester's just around the corner. It could be different. Lord, help me. You know, whatever the circumstance you find yourself in, understand this very simple, very, very simple thing. Your true contentment, and really only real contentment, is found in Jesus. And as Christians, we know that, but sometimes we forget it. And sometimes we think, well, it's the Lord and, or it's the Lord when he does this, or when everything else is good, then I have the Lord. Oh man, it just doesn't get any better than that. I think, I always kind of joke around saying whenever something is good, then I say, now I'm happy. Now my life is complete. You know, often when I'm sitting down to a nice steaming hot bowl of this teriyaki chicken. It's hard to describe. It doesn't sound that good, but you know, it's a Teriyaki Express down there in Carmen or 72nd. Anyway, you go down there and you put a little of that hot sauce. I don't put it much on. Brett kind of takes half the bottle, but I just kind of season it a little bit. And oh man, that's so often we sit there and we look at each other and go, and that's all it takes. You don't actually say anything because it's that good. You're just like, now I'm happy. But you know, really, I know that sounds pretty ridiculous, but if you look at me, you understand. And if you look like me, then we're... The secret of contentment is just Jesus. Remember that. And I can tell you this, it's a funny deal. Sometimes we think, well, if I just got rid of everything and if I wasn't so materialistic, I'd be content. I can tell you something, that's not really true. because, like I've alluded to, you know, living as a missionary a couple of different times over in the South Pacific, it's just your level changes, what you long for and what you think would make your life complete. You know, I remember sitting around, and Marna didn't get into this conversation as much as I did, but I would tell her this all the time. I'd say, if we only had an ice chest. If I only had one of those igloo ice chests that you can get at Costco, those giant ones, I would be happy. Why? Because then I could have ice that we bought from town. And if I had ice, I could have a cold drink. I could have like ice water or iced tea, and then I would be happy. And I don't know how many times I told her that, you know. And sometimes I was joking and sometimes I wasn't. Or, you know, you think of, it's just, and you think, man, just that one little thing, I'd be happy. Or if we could just reach out and have a few more people come into our church on Sundays, you know. I'm talking about being in Vanuatu, not talking about here. We'd say, oh, you know, wouldn't that be cool? Yes. But would that make us happy? No. Is that where happiness is? No. Having a nice chest? No. Getting a better job? No. Really, it's none of those things. We know it. I'm not telling you anything new. And I'm just taking a very long time of saying the same thing over and over again. So you hopefully understand what I'm saying. And that is true happiness, true joy, true contentment is not an entity of itself. It's a person. It's Jesus. It's knowing him. It's living for him. It's talking to him. It's spending time with him. And it doesn't matter how great your life is, if you don't have him, you're lacking. And if you're here today, this morning, and you're saying, yeah, I've got a lot of things, or my life is going really well, people like me, my job's going well, I haven't gotten in trouble in a long time, I haven't gotten any speeding tickets, man, things are really good, but my life just feels hollow. You just need Jesus. And I'm talking, you could be a Christian here and feeling like, man, you know, there's just, you know, I don't know why my life just seems kind of empty. Maybe it's because you've given your life to the Lord, but you've kind of taken it back. or you've said, Lord, I want you to save me, but that's about it. I'll take care of everything else. And that's why you're lacking. Because it's not that we don't ask the Lord to come into our life just to save us from hell or just to take away our sin, even though, I mean, those things are gigantic. He says, I want to know you. I want to come into your heart and I want to sup with you. You know, he talks about that in the book of Revelation. He says, I want to spend time with you. You matter to me, the Lord would say to you. He loves you. He really does. And he cares about you. And he wants to just spend time with you. And he's available all the time. And when we remember him and we give that time to him, we say, Lord, I want to just spend time with you. We'll find that we're content. Even if things are horrible. Even if things look like they couldn't get any worse, we'll say, well, I know the Lord is good. And I know he can help me. He's the one who can get me out of every and any circumstance. He can deliver me from any trouble that I'm in, any hardship, any sorrow. He's the one. That's the great thing about the Lord. There's no limit to what he can do. And there's no limit to how much he loves you. That's a pretty good combination there. So, again, this morning, if you're here for the first time, or if you've been here forever, the same thing applies to all of us, and that is we just want and need more of Jesus. And the more we have of him, the more we spend time with him, the more we include him in our life, the more contentment we're going to experience. Just like Paul, in prison, things were not looking good in a lot of ways, yet he said, I'm content. And when you read through the book of Philippians, it's a really happy and joyful book. So that's the fun. That's the fun word for this morning, I guess. Just that the Lord loves you. He wants to give you peace and contentment. And that doesn't mean he's going to give you perfect, easy life. Those things have nothing to do with each other. Your life may be really hard, but you can be content. You can still have joy in your heart. You can still know that things are not bad because the Lord is there. So, anyway, let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word. And we're really thankful, unbelievably thankful, Lord, for your son, Jesus. We just can't believe how good he is to us. And Father, how good you are to us, how you have shown your love to us by sending your son, that he would die for our sins, that he would make a way for us to know you, that he would not only do that and save us, but that he would come and live in our hearts, that you would never leave us or forsake us, Lord. And Father, we really, really appreciate that. And Lord, we also appreciate the fact that you gave us your Spirit. You told us again that you don't leave us as orphans, but you give us your Holy Spirit. And we are so glad, Lord, to know that whether things are going really, really well or really, really poorly, that you're there because you love us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to be content with where we are in the sense of knowing who we have in our heart, knowing who we contain, and that's you. And Lord, we know it's one of those things we don't understand. How can we contain you? Well, we know we don't contain all of you, Lord, but we do have you in us, in our hearts, and we are so thankful for that. So Lord, help us to just keep our eyes on you. May we really remember that you're the one who gives us everything we need, but even better than that, you're just everything that we need, and that's it. And we thank you, Lord. So help us to remember that, and Lord, I pray you just bless my brothers and sisters who came out this morning. May they go their way today knowing how much you love them, and Lord, may they just be able to rejoice in you, and Lord, may we all just learn to be content in Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, on your way out, if you're here today and you say, boy, I just am not content. My life is just lacking in some area. Maybe you don't know the Lord. You've never given your life to Jesus. You've never asked Jesus to take your life into his hands, you know, and to be the one to come into your life and to change you and give you true meaning in your life. Hey, there's going to be some elders standing up here in the front. You can come and talk to any of us. And if you need prayer for any reason, we're up here. And other than that, man, remember Jesus. He loves you. He really does. And he is everything you need. Well, God bless you guys. You're dismissed.